Stand with pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to open the work study session with Buildings and Grounds update with Mr. Montalvo.
Where's my mic?
Testing, yes, okay. All right, so we haven't had a meeting in quite a while, so this is it. And it's more about the fence that we talked about a few years ago on the side property that faces east, northeast corner of the property over by the railroad station and the UPS store. We have Tony here tonight with us to kind of go through the fencing. This was proposed a few years ago. We kind of just put it on the shelf. It really is nice. I do like it. I know we've had some issues in the past of, you know, people kind of strolling into the parking lot that shouldn't be there. And with, you know, kids going out in and out, I feel that the fence is a good thing. It could be opened up at night so commuters can walk through. But during the school day, you know, these kids, you know, it shouldn't be an open campus where people are just strolling around. I've always had a problem with that. So that's the fence thing. And with that, we also had a resident and a commercial owner of a commercial building come to us and kind of talk about the fence. Also, he has a property that he is looking to upgrade in this corner over here of next to the UPS store. And what he would like to do is put a new building in there that has been approved by the village. What he does need is he needs some parking in the back. So he's come to us to kind of ask a solution. And one of it is if he could kind of lease some of our property by our garage. And in turn, he would move our garage at no cost to us. And he would be willing to put this fence in at no cost to us. So what would happen is, you know, we would, you know, what I would like to see happen is I'd like possibly that gentleman and maybe his attorney or his architect come in, speak to the board, bring it out to us and see what we think about this. And that's kind of where I'm at right now with it. So any questions on this?
Thank you. So do we have estimates of what a fence would cost if we were to install it or build it?
I have an estimate as of today. I have three different quotes on three different ways of putting this fence up. If you look at page two, you'll see where that picture of that car is in the front of the parking lot. That's an 8-foot gate that we'd be able to open up at any time for trucks to come in, fire department to come in. Right next to it is a 5-foot gate, and down at the other side is another 5-foot gate. Now, we could either put this fence up with the brick columns, which I would suggest because for aesthetic purposes, I think it's going to look very nice. And I did get prices on both ways. If we were to put the brick pillars in and the fence, we'd be doing this job would run about $88,000. And that's from one company. The last time we had a price on this from the other company, it would probably run us about $130,000. Two different prices on that. And if we didn't want to go with the brick pillows, we could put in 4-inch wrought iron, 4-inch wrought iron posts. But I think aesthetically for the district, I think we would be better off with the brick pillows.
Yeah.
And it would certainly make the fence a heck of a lot stronger. By attaching the fence to those.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, are those quotes from a few years back, or are they?
The one quote that I got today from two different contractors came out to $88,000. The last quote that I had, we had two quotes. The last quote we got from one company, in 2018, he was at 89,000. So I'm estimating him to be approximately $115,000 to $120,000.
Yeah. So the 88 sounds a little on the light side, especially with all those columns.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I know how much that walkway over there cost at Rowe Hall, and to think that fence. I mean, that's. You know, you're talking a few hundred feet of fence with columns every 8 feet, correct?
There's a total of 13 columns.
I mean, that's pretty reasonable.
I mean, that price for $88,000, I think, is really a solid number.
Yeah.
I could have this job completed by the end of the summer.
Right. Okay.
Does that $88,000 include the 8-foot gate? And the 5-foot gate?
Yes.
Okay. And do we have to put this out to bid then?
If we were going to pay for it, right?
So, I'm sorry.
So we would have to bid it out if we were going to pay for it.
Yeah, I think over $50,000. Right. So, Tony, I guess my only question is, that fence does not go along from the garage to Railroad Avenue.
No.
So just understand that. The gentleman who's proposing it to lease our parking, he would also be putting the fence along that property. So right now there's a cyclone fence there that's very unappealing. So that would go from there all the way to Railroad Avenue and then turn and then follow this fence that's on the picture group.
Yeah, but it's just
yes.
Like,
we'll
just plain fence
at
the back.
Why
just
make
it
out
here?
But it's a lot,
it's
like fence here to there.
And
yeah,
there,
right,
like
exactly.
That. And we were never talking about a fence around the entire perimeter of the campus. This is just really the parking lot area, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Can I ask a question? There are 13 columns. Can we pare those columns down, or do you need all those columns for the foundational support?
We can reduce as many columns as we want to do this. But the 13 columns would be in between each 8-foot section, so it would basically make that fence line a lot sturdier, and if something's good. To go wrong, it's a lot easier to replace an 8-foot section of fence that would be to replace the whole thing.
Thank you.
Section of the building.
So I guess the next thing is if we want to pursue this and see. Yeah. So if you guys are willing, we could kind of set it up that we can have this gentleman come in with his architect and kind of go through everything with us. He did leave some plans and just to show what the building's going to look like and all of that. But
was this approved by the village?
This was approved by the village, yes.
Well, not the fence.
No. Let me clarify that. The building was approved.
The building, right.
However, he needs off-street parking. So that's where we come in, and that's he's trying to think out of the box on how to how he can get some off-street parking.
And the parking that he would use by leasing or potentially leasing our space is space that we're not utilizing at all right now. Is that correct?
We're not using it.
As far as
where the garage is right now, it's kind of a funky piece of property. It kind of it kicks in and it's a pie shape. So there's wasted property on the one side. So what we would do is just back the garage to the south, and he would gain just about 8 feet of land for parking, and that would be it.
So it won't affect our parking.
It won't affect any of our parking or anything.
And the garage aesthetically, just looking at the plans here, would be brick?
Yeah, the garage would match the building. Right now it's kind of faced in like a cement facade. It's not very appealing. But that would be a brick that would match the building. And you know, that's the details. You know, we have to get to that.
Thank you, Mr. Malcalto. And thank you for your work in this area and you know, bringing it to our attention. This is a project that we've been speaking about for a couple of years now. As you know, we did get initial quotes about a year and a half ago and renditions. And it really is, you know, quite a way to beautify the area, but also keep our students and staff safe during the school day. I think it's a great idea that we have the owner of the property in to meet with us, as well as his architect, his attorney, our attorney. I would also suggest, if it's the board's will, that we have somebody from the Village Building Department who will keep the project in with us to keep them involved in the conversation, because, you know, it is a project that would clearly beautify the village as well, just to keep them involved in the conversation. And maybe there's something they know about the approval of the project that we don't know.
Yes. And also making sure that we don't disrupt the school year too much with construction and where the vehicles are going to be going and a lot of other pieces.
Right.
We actually have
All right, so we'll get that started.
Thank you.
And I think, Tony, do we have anything else in buildings ground while we're here? I know the HVAC in the row hall is now working and
100% operational.
100%, thank you.
Just waiting through software for our building management system.
Great. That's all I have.
Processes we have going on.
Okay. Do we have any summer projects while? Okay, so there we go. So we do not have any summer projects, so we're off the hook, and we probably will not have any other year.
So,
I
guess
it's big for you on that. Yes, except for that. So thank you. That's it for me.
Okay, thank you.
I may have a motion to recess the work study meeting to conduct a public hearing on the reopening plan for September 2021. Mrs. Kanay, seconded by Mr. Wesley. All in favor? 5-0. Now, Mrs. Rogers will have a public hearing and reopening plan for September 2021.
Okay, I want to thank Mr. Siervo for joining us tonight. Thank you very much.
You.
It was a
thank
pleasure
you.
Meeting you.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, so I want to welcome everyone with us tonight. This is a public discussion on our intended plans for a traditional opening in September. The way this will run tonight, we will go through a presentation and then open it up to questions from our community if we have teachers on or parents on. I want to welcome everyone for joining us tonight. But before we go into tonight's presentation, we want to begin by really thanking everyone. On behalf of the Board of Education, we're very happy to discuss this evening, as I mentioned, the intended plans for September, as we do anticipate what we hope will be a traditional opening of all schools for all students grades K through 12. So before we get into the details, I'd like to begin by also thanking our families for their patience, their strength, their resilience through these very challenging times. Whether you chose your child to come physically to school, or you chose for your child to be a full-time virtual learner this past year, all parents truly helped everyone and our staff keep our students engaged in their studies. So thank you for that. And thank you also to our terrific instructional and support staff this entire year. You know, June is a month of celebrations, and we're at that point in the year. We got there, and we're really starting to open up and celebrate as we get back to normal. So we'll be talking about that today. So with the promise of vaccines, the eager distribution of those vaccines, as well as a consistent lower COVID-19 positivity rate, we do anticipate a traditional return to the new school year this fall. That's if everything continues to go in the positive direction that it seems to be going. It should be noted, just as I looked at today, the Suffolk County positivity rate was at 1.2%, and that was the last reported rate over the last 7-day average from May 15th through May 21st. The good news is, according to the CDC site, that places Babylon solidly in a downgraded yellow zone, which is the moderate risk of transmission zone, which is very good news for school districts like us in Suffolk County. So we did receive some very valuable feedback this past year, paired with our own observations. And the next slide talks about some of that valued feedback. We all feel that we all want a traditional opening of fall 2021. Again, I'll say that will be paired with the positive news suggesting the pandemic's end. We received good feedback from parents of elementary and grade school children that they prefer that the school times again be aligned with one another, allowing siblings who qualify for transportation to ride the bus together, both to and from school. We received feedback about mental health and SEL supports for students, particularly those rejoining us. We had a small number of students who were virtual only students, and you know, we welcomed them all back with open arms, but we want to think about how we engage them again. Everybody we've spoken to would love to maintain small class sizes, from our feedback from our teachers association, to parents, to everybody here in central office. We feel there needs to be a little more movement and opportunities for student socialization. We are welcoming the return of traditional events beginning this spring, actually, and leading into the fall with hopefully less observer restrictions come the fall, and opening up our schoolhouse doors again to parent involvement, volunteerism, that's very important. In speaking with our teachers, you know, aligning the two schools, the elementary and the grade school, with two school times, we bring back that cherished professional development time for co-planning and articulation among teachers. That did happen this year, but there's designated time built into their day to do so. And we also heard from a number of people that, you know, September might not be fully normal, but even though we're closer to being there, that, you know, there might be still protective equipment and safety procedures that will be required by the State Education Department and the Suffolk County Department of Health come September. We just don't know. Okay, but I think everybody is going to be very calculated in opening up in a traditional sense while maintaining the health and safety of all students and staff. So we really want to start next year off in the right way. I will tell you, as I mentioned, year-end celebrations are in full swing. We are planning in-person moving up ceremonies with parents present. We are planning orientations with parents present, for example, incoming kindergarten, incoming third grade, incoming seventh grade students will have orientations this spring. So they leave here seeing their new schools, meeting some of the key people in their new schools. This past year, I want everyone to know, through the work of our principals and our teachers, led by Mr. D'Amico, we had a year-long system of progress monitoring all K through six students at ELA in mathematics. We have been benchmarking the progress of the students September, winter, and now spring. And we have a very, very good indication where our students are as learners, where they are falling on the continuum as instructional and independent readers, where they are with computational skills. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes, progress monitoring our students, and we're very happy with the results we're seeing. Our teachers at the junior senior high school have done amazing work preparing our students for spring advanced placement exams, Regents exams. You know, they really didn't miss a beat up here. And I know last week Mr. D'Amico sent home information about Regents exams. It's a little different this year because we're only offering four and many of them are not being offered this year, but we are encouraging everybody who has a child up here, please have the students sit for the exams because they will have to sit for them next year. It's a no harm policy by sitting for those Regents exams, and it's just another opportunity for students to really fine tune their skills and get a shot at doing well on those. If those exam results are good results, they go on this transcript, which could actually help in an application process. So, you know, I know that the state is saying, yes, they're exempt, they don't have to take them, but I think that I see that as a very dangerous practice. And I have to say, it might not be a popular opinion, but I really do personally feel that they should be sitting for those Regents exams just for the sense of seeing how well they do. And if they don't do well, then they could get the E for exempt on the transcript. It really doesn't hurt them. It can only help them if the students do well on a certain exam. So I just wanted to go off topic a little bit and talk about that. This summer, we'll be offering the SCOPE Summer Enrichment Program. It's being spearheaded by our wonderful teacher, Brooke Carey. That will be for incoming kindergarten through grade six learners. It is an enrichment program, but it is also very literacy-based. So we're hoping that, students and families sign up for that program. There's information on the district website about that program that runs during the month of July. Mr. D'Amico's office will also be getting information out about summer reading program at the library, which I'm assuming that they're going to be offering again. I know our district coordinates that with the librarian at Babylon Public Library. We're also partnering with Western Suffolk BOCES. For our students up here who need some credit recovery in order to graduate. We have a very small number of students in that situation every year, but BOCES does a terrific job at getting children prepared to earn back those credits, for a class maybe that they might have failed or whatnot. And then finally, we sent out a survey last week. We had terrific responses. One of the things that we'll be doing this summer is looking at social emotional learning focus teams. Each school will be running them this summer with volunteers who want to sit on those teams to really make school in September a very warm, very welcoming experience for all students returning to our campuses. So tonight we're going to talk about five big ideas, let's call them. So parents who are watching tonight can get a sense of our intentions for September. We'll be talking about school times, structures of the school day, continued health and safety practices. We'll be reviewing current state guidance and unknowns come September, as well as leave time for conversation from people who are on with us tonight. So let's talk a little bit about school times. We are proposing that we will be returning back to the traditional school start and end times that we had prior to the COVID pandemic. Specifically, the next slide details what those times are. Okay. So we're looking at Babylon Junior Senior High School. Student hours would be 7:40 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And I'll go in a little bit over about the structure of the school day. Babylon Grade School, student hours will be 8:20 a.m. to 2:35 p.m. And Babylon Elementary School will run from 8:25 a.m. to 2:40 p.m. So what does the school day look like? We'll first talk about transportation. So transportation was a little adjusted this year, as we know. Next year, we're hopeful. We're hopeful that by aligning the student start and end times between the elementary and the grade school, that siblings in the same family can once again ride the bus with one another in the morning and the afternoon, regardless of the schools they attend. So let me give you an example. Let's say we have a family that has a kindergartner attending Babylon Elementary School, and we have the same family that has a third grader attending Babylon Grade School. Both students in that family would board the bus in the AM together. Mom or dad would take both children to the bus stop one time a day. Both children would get on the bus. The bus would do a first drop off of the third grader at the grade school, and then would proceed to drop off the kindergartner at the elementary school. Obviously, the afternoon departure would follow the same pattern. This is the system we had 2 years ago. I feel, in my opinion, it was a much easier system for parents because it only required them to be at the bus stop once in the AM and once in the PM for all of their children. Now, what will the bus look like next year? It's a little early to say definitively, but we might be anticipating that siblings may have to sit together, maybe in the same seat, as a way of needing to cohort if we are still required to do so based on COVID guidance at the time as we near fall. Currently, masks are required on all school buses as proper ventilation is as well. But right now, at this time, I can't tell you whether there will be a mask requirement for school buses or not. That is direction that we take from our state and local departments of health. Do I anticipate that that guidance will change over the summer? I do. That's my best guess. Looking at the structure of food services, we have a terrific team of food service employees who have dedicated over a year of their time servicing the students and families of Babylon. If you remember last summer, we had the grab-and-go meals for our entire community outside. And this year, they continue to offer, you know, free meals to all students. Meals, I have heard, will continue to be free for all students until next June 2022, according to the USDA, yes. However, in order to be receiving free meals, they are going to be requiring free and reduced applications to be completed and on file. So I would probably send one out to every single family in the district. Fill it out, get it back in because the students are entitled to that. Okay. Also, the school nutrition program would require normal operations if the COVID restrictions are lifted in terms of social distancing. The fact that seating currently is limited due to social distancing of 6 feet have made us this past year package meals at the elementary school with delivery to those students. This would not be the case next year if we were to return to more normal circumstances. So we are anticipating, again, we're anticipating that students would be utilizing the food service lines come September. The grade school would also be utilizing the food service lines. as well as the high school, they would be doing that as well. So this would also mean, if we are able to do that, that the food service would eliminate packing meals and begin expanding menu options once again, okay? So one thing about our school, food service, they also currently are offering pickup meals for current virtual learners. This would be eliminated next year once students come back in person. But obviously, you know, all school safety precautions will continue in the fall as dictated by the CDC and the Suffolk County Department of Health. So that's a little bit about food service, but one thing is for sure, all of our students will receive breakfast and lunch at no cost for next year. So good news from that department. Talking about structures of the K through six classrooms. Okay, so obviously a traditional opening in September would mean that we return students to 5 days full-time in-person schedules, which we had this year for both Babylon Elementary and grade school. The students would continue to receive a full complement of special area classes. The school start times would allow for before school extra help and an array of in-person eclectic clubs held after school, which we did have this year. But one of the things that we really want to do is make sure that class sizes remain nice and low the way we're used to them. Bottom line is the integrity of the entire program in 21 and 22 is fully supported by the budget that was just approved by voters. And that includes those small class sizes, AIS and reading and math supports, mental health supports, a celebration of music and the arts, technology, and so much more. So regarding, you know, student spacing of desks, we were actually very fortunate this year because those rooms down there can house, you know, a number of desks meeting 6 foot distance. We will continue in all three buildings to space desks appropriately. We're going to strive to keep the student desks well spaced. But just know, because we're now in yellow zone and things are getting better and better, districts do have the authority in those zones to go under 6 feet as per recently released guidance. One of the recommendations we are making is that we would like to get rid of the plastic desk guards effective, you know, during the summer. We're simply keeping them up only because it's a tremendous amount of manpower to take them down right now, and it would be a disruption, you know, in the classrooms. We're just letting the year roll out, keeping them up, and then we'll start fresh July 1. I also think going slightly under the 6 feet, if we ever had to, helps bring us back to normalcy. Although those buildings down there were able to keep kids nicely spaced, and that spacing helped us with contact tracing, actually.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about this. Right now, we're able to fit all of our students in the classroom 6 feet apart, masking with sneeze guards. If guidance and circumstance does allow us to bring the desks in a little bit closer, perhaps that will allow us to bring some more furniture. One of the things we did have to do to create the space 6 feet to create for social distancing is pretty much strip the classrooms of any other furniture that was in there. So it's very difficult for teachers to meet in small group and to carry on small group instruction. Although they've been exceedingly creative and finding ways to do it while still maintaining social distancing. So if the guidance does allow us to, if we get to a place where we are able to do that, that would be one of the nice things. We might be able to see a return of some of the furniture that we had to pull out and a return to easier small group instruction.
Terrific points. That will be dictated, I think, by the contact tracing guidelines. I sure hope they change those, if we keep going in a positive direction. I'd have to really look at that. Because that was contact tracing guidelines, and I'm getting to them soon in another slide, a few slides down, but those really dictate to schools who gets contact traced or not, all right? So if those, if the departments and the agencies revise the metrics for contact tracing, we could be in very good shape where we could easily do that and return that culture of normalcy, right? Back in our classrooms. Another point too, at this point in the school year, we are not anticipating offering a virtual only option next year. I believe there was some news today that came out from Albany that that would not be a mandate next year. If things were to change, and if the government agencies told us that we had to have virtual only options for, severe cases of children who just couldn't physically come to school, that would be something that we have to discuss later down the road. It might be something where, and they talked about this, the local BOCES could be offering that as an option for school districts. It's just too early to tell, but right now we are not looking at offering the virtual only option. In addition to the K through six structure, we feel, based on a lot of feedback we've received from staff, employees, through our own observations, our staff this year did a terrific job on intensive cleaning. And I think that's why we overall had very, very good results keeping our schools opened. We really didn't close other than a couple of days in the beginning. And it was really remarkable. We had the 6 feet distance and, we are committed to maintaining, a level of cleaning, especially of high touch areas between student use, cafeteria, bathrooms, doorknobs. I think we owe that to everybody, at least in the beginning stages, to get our bearings and see how this is going. So that will be a continued emphasis. Our buildings also have those traffic patterns in the hallways. Now, we're not taking those down yet. We're just gonna leave them up for a little while. They're cute. The kids got used to them. So those will remain. And then little by little, we'll peel them up, I guess. So that's a little bit about the Babylon Elementary School and Memorial Grade School. We could take a brief look at class sizes. Nice low class sizes. This is your average class size per grade level as we stand today. And unfortunately, I didn't bring the number of sections with me, but we can, get that out. But just know, as registration occurs throughout the summer months, we constantly continue and closely monitor class sizes to ensure that there's always low student to teacher ratios. That's our work throughout the summer months. And this district was never one to say, don't open up another section. We feel kids come first here and, especially coming off the year of COVID, we do need that intensive, slow student to teacher ratio in our schools. So taking a look at Babylon Junior Senior High School again, great that we're all back. Our staff did a terrific job. Everybody in this building, from Chris Davis measuring classrooms to everybody, people running around, teachers coming up with creative ideas, the kids came back. But what we propose, obviously, for the fall, a 5 day a week full-time return, in-person schedule, and a return to the conventional 9-period day. That would mean periods 1 through 9 in succession, as we are used to. Obviously, it would be an offering of current advanced placement honors and regents level classes, plus a very good array of electives, as well as the lab classes for extra academic supports that have always been so helpful and have for many years been a model here at Babylon High School to help those students succeed. In addition, in-person extra help, extracurricular clubs and activities, and we really didn't skip a beat this year at all. And we didn't skip a beat regarding athletics. Do I think that we'll see testing of athletes next year? Personally, I don't think so, but you never know. We're also building the schedule. Again, with feedback from our teachers, we're striving for low class sizes at the junior senior high school as well, looking at between 18 to 20 per section. Again, that allows us to keep the desks spaced enough so we don't have the repercussions of contact tracing and a whole class having to quarantine. So we're doing whatever we can to, you know, keep the student desks well spaced, but also keep class sizes nice and smaller. Again, at the Babylon Junior Senior High School, there will be no virtual only option for next year as it stands now. Okay. So the next big idea is, let's talk about continued health and safety practices. You know, everybody did such a terrific job this year with really learning about all this and practicing this from the students, the staff, the teachers, the parents, the visitors. I mean, tonight we had our first live in-house welcome of parents who were here to see Pippin. Everybody sat 6 feet, they wore masks, and everybody just really came together and continues to help us. So again, this is based on guidance that comes out over the summer and in September. We will continue to plan to embrace the same healthy practices. That includes, you know, promoting and educating our students on proper hand washing, respiratory etiquette, making a commitment to regularly clean all areas of our schools consistently. For example, you know, playground equipment, door handles, sink handles, toilets, drinking fountains within the school and on school buses. And also continuing to promote proper ventilation to increase the circulation of outdoor air, changing filters, you know, repeatedly, increasing the delivery of clean air to the classroom. That helps to dilute potential contaminants. Again, you know, some of these things might be relaxed as we get into maybe the summer, maybe the fall, but we're starting out the year with good sound practices. So we, you know, open up normal as can be, and stay open. So now let's talk about the current state guidance and unknowns for September. So we have seen over the last couple of months that the CDC really, you know, comes out with changes all the time. And some people might say, well, why can't the school make changes immediately? The CDC came out with this. Well, it's because of this. New York State has to adopt the CDC recommendations as a state on the state level. And what we have found that typically the New York State Department of Health adopts and releases its own guidance that aligns with the CDC standards. And we're finding that often happens several weeks after the CDC comes out. That has been pretty much the routine all year. And we, you know, we have to follow the state agencies. And that's something a lot of people may not understand. So let's talk about contact tracing. Right now, the current language continues to be defined as individuals who have been within 6 feet of an infected person for a cumulative total of 15 minutes or more over a 24-hour period. That is the current language. Now, I'm talking about unknowns because we have no idea how contact tracing will be defined over the summer or come September. Do I think the parameters will change with all the positive news and the waning of the pandemic? I do, but I'm not the expert. We have to rely on based what comes down to us from New York State. But currently, that's the language. It has to be an individual within 6 feet of an infected person. That means less than 6 feet. If that person is less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes, guess what? They're getting quarantined.
Can I ask, I'm sorry. That's all those that are not vaccinated, because we know obviously our younger children don't have that opportunity right now, but they don't have to be trained. No, they are.
Correct. Again, you know, we don't know that. And we also don't know if children will be requiring vaccinations. There's so many unknowns, and we're waiting for some guidance. I really do hope personally that they change this contact tracing, the contact tracing parameters, because it would really let us loosen up from that 6 foot distance going down without being fearful that a bunch of kids would end up having to quarantine. All right, so I'm hopeful. Okay, so let's talk about masks. There's been a lot of discussion recently regarding the ever-changing guidance from the CDC, and in particular, mask wearing. Throughout the pandemic, we have definitely been messaged by the New York State Department of Health and the Suffolk County Department of Health, and as I mentioned, those are the governing authorities that we must follow. We have followed their local guidance carefully and with fidelity. So recently, it was effective May 19th, actually something was released by New York State saying that, vaccinated people do not have to wear masks. However, the same day that came out, we received information for school districts that basically directed us that, well, that's all fine and good for the commercial, entities, but at this time, New York State has not changed its mask policy as it relates to schools. So that's where we are right now. We are obliged to maintain mask wearing in schools, students. And teachers who might be or might not be vaccinated. And that also includes homeless shelters, correctional facilities, nursing homes, healthcare settings, so on and so forth. If not 6 feet apart as well. Do I think guidance will change come September? I sure hope so. I personally, I don't know if we'll see these little babies coming back wearing masks. I mean, that will be dictated by the state agencies again. But we will continue to monitor the state guidance on the matter as it relates to school districts. Another unknown that we're not sure about will be daily temperature checks. This is something that we continue to do, obviously, all students and staff. We take our temperatures daily upon entry. Will this continue in September? We just don't know. If it does, we're equipped to follow through with that. If it doesn't, then we'll take that guidance. But we're not sure if the guidance will change on that requirement. So last week, we sent out a very brief survey just to get the pulse from people, from our families out there. And we asked three basic questions. We wanted to get the pulse on barriers. Even though as a school district, we have the right to take down the barriers, I wanted to get the pulse from parents on whether or not they felt more comfortable with having the plastic guards. So recently, New York State Department of Health, and I quote, said barriers are no longer required, but they are not prohibited. If barriers are a tool your community feels appropriate, continue to use. So the first question states, I would be comfortable with the district's recommendation eliminating plastic desk barriers in K-6 classrooms. So here are the results. 53% strongly agreed and 36% agreed. That's a total of 89% of 649 responses. Almost 90% of 640 families who responded feel basically it's okay to get rid of the plastic barriers. And that is a pretty overwhelming response to that question. 8% said they disagree and 3% they severely disagree. And that those metrics sort of give us, sort of bring a little bit of, you know, credibility to maybe the district's recommendation in that area. The second question dealt with the virtual only platform. As we mentioned, we're not offering a virtual only remote learning option at this time, unless the state agency has directed us to do so. So the question read, if the New York State Education Department and or state government agencies mandated that a virtual only option must be offered to interested families, would you elect to have your children be full-time virtual learners in September? Again, 649 responses, and the results, 92% overwhelmingly said, we do not want virtual instruction. My child is coming back full time. 5% said they were unsure, and 3% said that they would opt for a virtual only option. And that's good information for us to know in case a virtual only option is mandated. If that was ever the case, obviously we would put that question out again to families, you know, for them to take us up on that, but right now it's not mandated. And then the last question talked about, you know, our goal of really continuing, you know, the year, starting the year next year with positive social, emotional, mental health supports for all the children. Most of our kids are back anyway, but we are welcoming back a small group of youngsters who were virtual only this year. And we want them to feel engaged from the minute they walk in our schoolhouse doors. We wanted to know, you know, how many folks out there would be willing to spend some time with us this summer on school-based committees, one at the high school, one at the grade school, one at the elementary school, to discuss eclectic ideas and initiatives to help all students returning who feel safe, welcomed, and important members of the student body. Believe it or not, you know, in our talks with some of the students here at the high school, there were a number of students here who suggested, you know, they were concerned still about COVID and the safety, and this is really before the vaccinations came out, but there is a feeling among some students about just safety in general and catching this. So we have some work to do in this area where they feel safe, welcomed, and they can have their answers, you know, their questions answered, that there are support people in place to help them feel that way. And we had over 100 responses, which was actually terrific. So that was really great. And we're starting to go through those responses now. Does anyone want to ask a question or make a comment before we go to time for conversation?
May I chime in?
Sure.
Okay, so thank you very much for that comprehensive presentation. Anybody who's listening attentively heard over and over again you talk about how the guidance was constantly changing.
Yeah.
And so it's been a really long year, and I can't believe that we're coming on the end, but I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, we've made so many adaptations and changes and adjustments, and some people like to use the word pivots, all throughout the year, based on the only thing that was consistent, which was changing guidance. And I'm glad that you mentioned that just because the CDC says something, that doesn't automatically mean that we flip a switch at school and we can do what they said. I think it's important that we take as much as we can from this planet and bring it to life, because I don't think anybody wants our kids to go through what they went through this year. I think we want them all in every way possible. But we got to throw that caution flag out there, you know, that if we are faced with guidelines and guidance that is ambiguous and that we have to follow after legal interpretation, that that's the reality that we have to exist in. And as far as the small class sizes, like that's been such a battle and specialty over the years. So I'm glad that that's what we do here, because it's not going to be so much of a shock to the system to try and maintain it.
I mean, we are enthusiastically pushing forward.
Yeah.
I have to.
Of course.
I have to. You know, and the only thing that would be a monkey wrench in this whole thing, if some guidance comes down or something out of the blue happens and we're faced with something, you know, yeah, we'll make amendments. But, you know, we are going full force, you know, along with keeping safety in play, all these great things, you know, and then leaning over that little by little as we get more information. But, you know, our students deserve it, our teachers deserve it. And like I said, we don't know where masks stand. I mean, you know, they need to give us guidance as things continue to improve, and I have no doubt that they will.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can I ask a question? I just wanted to thank you for this very thorough presentation and for all of the work you and your team have done this whole year. In regards to the site-based committees, will there be or has there been consideration of having students on those committees too, especially up here?
Yes, that will be discussed. We're just getting into the beginning stages of those conversations, but we'll be getting our guidance team. We'll be getting our guidance team involved in those conversations, our administration, definitely students, because the students have a tremendous sense of voice. Yes, thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to echo the thanks for all the time you took to put this together and listen to everybody's thoughts. Question about summer programs, music programs. So I'm assuming since we're moving towards the all in, that any summer program is all in as well, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from Dr. Daly or Ms. Allen? Okay. All right, so we're going to open up. This is the opportunity for anyone online with us tonight to ask a question, comment. Just give us a minute to get those written off again. And this is being recorded also, so we'll make sure we have this up online tomorrow for anyone who wasn't able to make it tonight. Hi, this is Campania.
Good evening, how are you?
Thank you. Good.
So the presentation was great. I think there was a lot of stuff in there. Obviously, masks hopefully will change. We have been amazingly able to maintain that 6 feet within our K-6 building. But are we honestly going to sit here and say that we're willing to tell the 3% of our population that we will not offer them virtual because they cannot come back to school for medical reasons?
Yeah, we didn't say medical.
Okay, I have to assume, based on the conversations that I have had with parents, that if they answered yes on that questionnaire in the last 4 days, that it was because they do not feel that they could send their children back to school for medical reasons, for whatever reason they have that they cannot send their kid to that school to wear their mask all day, we're going to deny them an education in our school district?
Yeah. I don't like that you're making an assumption, Mrs. Companion.
I'm not making assumptions.
You said you assume. That's what you said.
Okay, then I'm not going to assume.
Medical circumstances or medical circumstances, and if we are mandated to do a virtual avenue for medical circumstances,
Okay, so currently there is no mandate for, let me read what you put on your screen, no mandate for virtual only and won't be providing. There is no assumption in that statement. That is a clear and precise statement that you have no intention at this time to provide virtual learning after we've spent the whole year perfecting a virtual learning platform that we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on, that you're going to be getting funding from the federal government to pay for that. And now we're not going to provide it because the state doesn't mandate it. I mean, we are a pretty good district around here. We have those amazing class sizes, but we're going to say we're not going to provide virtual because New York State doesn't mandate it.
So this is still a conversation with our regional BOCES. We have talked about, you know, medically fragile students, if they had to have a virtual only option, we will be working with our local regional BOCES as school districts together and possibly offering that through those means. That is a conversation on the table at the region level.
Okay, I mean, I guess there just needs to be some more thought process behind that, because again, that's not using the resources that we have, that's going outside of our district and using a BOCES resource. So I think it is important that you be a little bit more, that you have a little bit more clarity on that statement, that it sounded pretty black and white to me. It did not sound like there was any gray in there. And I'm telling you, I have been getting the phone calls and I have been getting the text messages, and I'm sure that you have as well. And maybe it's only from a handful of students or parents, but that is enough for us to be concerned with. We have made so much advancement over the years with ESSA, with No Student Left Behind, and we're going to sit here and say that we can't provide virtual education.
Can I ask, Mrs. Jarrett, I just want to kind of touch you all. That was never said, it would never, every child is guaranteed an education. I don't really think this discussion is kind of worthy at this point until further decisions are made. We're just not promising that this whole experience is going to happen again. But if we could just, you know, if there's another question you have, you can address that, but I think we can move on at this point.
Okay, then I'll finish with my statement. You're talking about SEL and we're going to shut the doors to our students. That's the end of my statement. Thank you.
Can I just make just one issue? I just don't want there to be a misconception out there. We didn't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to build this virtual environment. We were a district that was already moving towards a one-to-one initiative. We had all of that technology in place. Part of that technology was Microsoft Teams, which is what we use to provide virtual instruction. I don't want the misconception out there that we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to build the infrastructure and the network that allowed us to do that. We were already doing that work.
And I just want to make mention that the purpose of this meeting tonight is to get feedback. So, you know, we noted it, and that's good to get that feedback, because, you know, we will continue, you know, exploring this option as all school districts in our region.
Got a long question.
Hi there. Good evening.
Second.
Yes, we've lost her. Okay.
Yeah, there was no one there. Is there anyone else?
Any other questions from the community? Okay. May I have a motion to adjourn the public hearing? First, Ms. Benet. Second, Mr. Montalto. All in favor? That's 5-0. Future board meetings, regular business meeting on Monday, June 7th, 2021 at 7:30 p.m. Regular business meeting Monday, June 21st, 2021, 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm.
We have a motion to adjourn. Mrs. Malesi? Followed by Mrs. Donaldson? All in favor? Justice 5-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today.